many prophetic things. And I think that what Dan said is really true, that there's this real power in with your voice releasing and praying over what God has said to you, right? In this time and this season, and that there's a word that God speaks, you know, over the body, individual words that we have to come into agreement with. And in coming into agreement with those words, we speak that. There's power in that. There's power in our words. And it's not a word of faith type thing, but that there's a real truth to that. That word and faith is released. And we believe, as Paul said, I speak as I believe. Right? What we believe, we declare, we speak. And this morning, the Lord kind of gave me this, I think this vision, and it was kind of bizarre. It took me a while to figure out what he was saying. But I like this canvas, an empty canvas, and I had a paintbrush, nothing there. And it was like the Lord was saying, paint something. And I thought, well, I can't paint. You're right. I can only barely draw stick figures. But all of a sudden, it was like I was painting, and all of a sudden I could see, like, Jesus on the cross, and there were chains around him. And I was like, Lord, I really don't get what you're trying to say here. And what he was saying is, I know the chains represent, you know, when he, of course, took everything on his body on the cross, just infirmity, sickness, but more than that, just our freedom, right? And that those chains represent that he took on those chains. And it was almost like he was asking me, what do you want to be free from? Because I took that. Now, that meant I've got the paintbrush in my hand. I'm gonna do this. I'm going to paint this. What in my heart do I want to be free from? Right? And there's a list. I was like, well, this, you know what I mean? So I knew that wasn't for me. I knew that was a word for us. That, and these guys just confirmed that, even with the sounding of the shofar and everything that they said about this time and season you're in. There's this real freedom that the Lord is speaking and declaring, and you know, the sounding of the shofar. I think of the walls of Jericho. You know, the very first stronghold when they were entering into the land was Jericho. It's a huge place, right? I mean, unbelievable size of the walls and the thickness. Probably, you know, 100 feet high and 30 feet thick wall. And the Lord just, through the sound of that and their obedience, which we'll talk about today, to the word that God told them and spoke to them, then in an instant and in a suddenly, they were just in a different place, right? They just, in a moment, the enemy was defeated. So you would think about that, they're probably thinking this is going to take a while. So I want to share just a couple of things kind of prophetically that the Lord is speaking to me and shared with me. And a lot of he'll use things, you know, because the Lord, you know, knows the end from the beginning, beginning from the end. Even in Ecclesiastes, it says that where we're going, he's already been, right? The Lord's already been to our future. That's kind of wild, isn't it? Can't wrap your mind around that, but it's really true. He knows the outcome and things that are going to happen before they happen. So he's used things like in the natural before, even just, you know, events in life at times to speak a truth. I remember years ago hearing someone say, and they used this thing to, you know, which would get all of our attention, college football. And he said, this particular team this year is going to be back on top again. But it's a prophetic word the Lord is saying about his church, and in his church in the state of Alabama, this is what's going to happen, right? And it happened, right? So he even spoke with me. I don't have time to go into details about some things that happened years ago and about who would win a particular game, but there was something about how it would happen, what the Lord was doing in me and in my life. And that was part of my healing years ago from those migraines. He used that. So the week of the Iron Bowl, right, I was just in prayer, wasn't really thinking about much, and the Lord said again, this is just all prophetic stuff. It's all using types, right? Things that's not having to do with the heat. Roots for a particular team against another one. But the Lord said in the Iron Bowl that Alabama would win, but there'd be a prophetic word in there. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just kind of hang on to this. And you know, they're kind of expected to win. So I don't, I really, you know, I was just kind of thinking through all that, what word he would be speaking through that. So I didn't watch it that day because it was a real hard day for me, and it just, any, you know, heightened emotions, hollering or screaming would make my headache worse. So I just kind of was back in the bedroom, TC and some other people up in the den watching. But I knew things weren't going very well according to that word, you know. So, old man of faith that I was, I guess I just missed that one, you know. Oh, well. And we know how, what happened. You know, it was like this thing seemed to be done and over with. And last moment, last second, things flipped, right? Literally seconds. And then there was a back and forth battle and then a winner. Okay? Now, it could have been either or when the Lord spoke, right? Has no, again, nothing to do with your particular team that you are for or against. Nothing to do with that. However, it was, you know, I was pretty excited about the word then to see what he was saying, but I knew he was saying a word for me, for my life, that things that I've dealt with physically, there's going to be a suddenly, because it seems like there's just no hope. No hope. There's no, it looks like the enemy's winning, right? Or in this situation that you're just kind of giving up hope in this area. So I was thinking that, and well, okay, Lord, so what you're saying is, not only for me, it was a word for other people, that there's going to be things that are going to shift in a moment for you. And it's going to seem like a defeat. And there's going to be a back and forth war. Okay? Because, you know, in Daniel, when he was talking, you know, he had these cool conversations with Gabriel. And then he said he had to go with Michael to fight, right, against the prince of Persia. There's a part in there that said, you know, Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days because the word that was released to him was held up in the second heavens. There was war over. And so there had to be a war to come against that so that that word can be released. So many times with us, and for me, there can be a promise of God there, and it's kind of held up because there's a real battle over it to keep it from happening. Okay? But Daniel, what did Daniel do? He just did what the Lord, he fasted and he prayed until that word broke through and was released in his, okay? Now, this is what made this word very interesting to me. The very next day, I didn't hear about it till Monday. One of Abby's friends went hunting that day. Hunted all day long. Didn't see anything. But the last minute, right at dark, you know, he thought, well, this has just been a bust all day. I'm not going to see anything. Right at the last moment, you know, you can shoot him at dusk. It's just got to be, it can't be just totally dark where you have to shine a light or anything, right? That's illegal. But there's when you can kind of physically see. Right at that moment, the last moment, seven deer came out. When that happened, the Lord kind of spoke to her friend and said, hey, this is a word for Abby's dad, that your situation may look bleak or hopeless, but right at the last moment, the Lord is going to do this. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. Don't stop fighting, because God is going to do this. He's going to do it at the last moment. Now, I hadn't shared that word with anybody, right? But that was another confirmation of that word, right? That the Lord is going to come through. And don't give up. Not that I have given up, but sometimes you kind of stop fighting. Sometimes you kind of give up the battle, right? I think we've all been there. So my encouragement to you is don't give up the battle. That the word of the Lord spoken to you, all the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus, no matter what it looks like. But for some reason, I know it's just not about me, for some reason this season, he's going to turn things. And even... I'll share the second one with you because I'll use this word. So the next week, this past week, again, just in my prayer time, thinking about stuff, the Lord spoke another word. And he was going to use this whole football thing again to confirm a word. So he said, Alabama will win the SEC. They're not expected to win. They're underdogs, but they're going to win. Okay? So again, and you know, anything like that, we always toss up, I know I do. Well, God, if this is you, confirm it. So... early Saturday morning, I always get these words from this particular person. They send them out to a bunch of people. One of their kids goes to our school. Both of them used to go last year. And the mother just every Saturday sends out these the scripture and a little bit of teaching, you know. Always get it Saturday afternoon. So Saturday, real early in the morning, get a ping, you know, message. a wait, you know, while to look at it, and this from her, the scripture that she sends out on Saturday. But for some reason, she sent it out real early. And a word she used is, don't give up. The tide will turn. Right? So, confirmation of that word. Again, not about the game. Not about who won or lost, right? It's about what God is doing and what He is speaking. That the tide turned, which we know what that means. Things will turn. And they're going to turn in a moment. And this is a word for the church, that the tide will turn for us, for the body of Christ, right? So many people during this time of this COVID thing, which we always say, you know, it's not to make anybody feel guilty or anything, but there's been such separation, right? And that's how the enemy works. I've been preaching this for years. He separates, he isolates, and then he dominates, and then he decimates, right? That's how he works. He works to separate you. And in the separation, to isolate you. Then once he isolates you, he starts pouring it on, right? Because we are in the body of Christ. Now, I know there's some wisdom things, so let's just scratch all that. You understand, hear the heart of what I'm saying. And so there's been a lot of people who's dealt with some issues, especially with depression, right? And just being just overwhelmed by emotions. Some people have never really dealt with that before, are dealing with that. Just this separation, anxiety, depression and stuff because of the isolation. And then fear that has been just released. I mean, the enemy has done, you know, every spirit of fear, I think, in the demonic realm has been released against the body to make us afraid. And to make us stop, make us slow down, right? But again, the word for us is don't give up. The tide will turn, and it's in our favor, right? The body of Christ, that there's going to be a real breakthrough. We talk about that a lot. Bishop mentioned it last Sunday, and we were talking about even again this week about that word, and it's in Samuel and Chronicles with David, about the Lord breaking through, the Lord of breakthrough. You know, one says the Lord will break through, the other said the Lord will break through at his hand, at the hand of David. So both, yes, that's what happens. The Lord breaks through, but the Lord breaks through at by our hands and with our words, because he puts the words in us, right? So important. So in this particular time, this season, Isaiah 64:3 says, when God does things that we don't expect, it's really almost like at this time we're in is pregnant with that, where God is doing things on our behalf that we kind of didn't expect, right? Or when when they were praying in the book of Acts, when, you know, Peter was put in jail and these guys were praying for his release, and then he's knocking at the door, and this girl goes down there, opens the door, and it's him, and she freaks, and nobody believes. She went and told everybody, and they didn't even believe her. I thought, well, weren't you just praying that? Suddenly, the answer is there at the door. The release is there. So think about your own life, the own promises of God spoken to you. I'm just releasing that and releasing this word over you that there's going to be a shifting, and the things are going to show up at your door that you're not expecting, but yet you've been praying for. It's just going to be there, right? It's going to be a release and promises fulfilled at the time. So we are in a season that we've heard that, and I think last week this is a season of real joy, but that season of joy is going to be because of that, because of God coming through on your behalf and promises fulfilled. There's going to be a season of time. It's a time of rejoicing. It's time for victory, right? It's a time for victory that looked like defeat. And even when the voices are speaking a defeat, the Lord is saying victory, and that will be victory. Psalm 119, we'll just spend a few moments there. We're not going to go over every single verse because there's 176 of them, right? All but two, 174 verses speak about the word of the Lord, right? And this is how it's kind of broken down. We don't have time to do every single thing. There's eight different ways that his word is used. And you know, when you're reading things like that in Psalm, he's not always talking about, sometimes when you read that, you're thinking about, well, it's the Old Testament, so he had to be talking about the Mosaic Law or, you know, the Ten Commandments, but more so. But you got to understand, when you read through Psalms and read David and Asaph and these other different people who, Psalms, they were getting rhema words from the Lord. A rhema word is a spoken word of God in a situation. right? The living word was speaking to them constantly, and they were pinning this thing down in these worship songs, things that God was saying. And even then with David and the different people, there were different prophets that would come and declare the word of God, okay? It was way bigger than just obedience to the Mosaic law, which they had and did, but not everybody had a copy of it in their house, right? You'd have to go listen to a scribe, a priest, kind of speak those things. So most of the time when he's talking about it, David is speaking of, or they're talking about, words God's given them, things that he's spoken over their lives and in their lives. So I'm just going to read a few of them, but let me give you all of the things. Okay, he uses the word statute, right? That's just something prescribed to you, like someone would prescribe this thing, or a doctor would give you something, or something that's owed you. It's an allotment, your allotment, right, in life. What God has allotted to you or decreed over your life or about you. Then there's, it uses word, right? This word here is just a promise, a speech, a promise that God's given you. Again, promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. Numbers 23:19 says, has he said and will he not do it? So just a promise that's been given. It also uses the word precepts. These are just rules that regulate behavior or thought, a thing appointed or a mandate. Kind of, he's going to use the word ways too, but something to just kind of regulate thoughts or behavior. Then she's going to use the word law, which is just instruction. The word means just instruction, right? Direction. A lot of times we're speaking of that in the Psalms. It's also speaking of the Ten Commandments, which is God's moral law, right? When the law, Jesus fulfilled the law, and, you know, we're not bound to the Mosaic law anymore. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments, right? Because that's God's moral law. James talks a lot about that in the book of James, right? When he's talking about the law, he's talking about God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, which is all cool. So I don't know why people remove that, because, you know, don't murder. You know, why would you want to remove that from the courthouse, right? Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't take your neighbor's stuff. You know, real bad stuff, right? Then it uses the word commandment, which is, again, the moral laws of God here. Testimony, 6 is testimony, which is just a declaration of truth and or an evidence of faithfulness, God's faithfulness. Then it uses the word way, which is just the manner, conduct, road, distant, or journey. I thought a lot about that because the word reading from even the gospel and the Old Testament in Isaiah is about the Lord going before us, clearing a path to walk on. And that's kind of the second part of what I think the Lord really put on my heart today about God fulfilling his word and the breakthrough that's going to come. Suddenly, it's not only going to be about our praying and speaking and believing that, but also clearing the path, right? Walking in holiness. Big deal. Isaiah 35 talks about a highway and a road of holiness, right? Because the pure in heart see God. And it's about what the Lord is doing here in us, with me, is also not only just the suddenlies that's happening, but also a burning desire more than ever to walk in holiness, righteousness, right? That clears the path. And when you're on the path, walking that way, it's much easier for your word to be fulfilled than if you're walking in another path, right? Which is, it may take a long time before things happen, right? Not a word of legalism, but it is about what the Lord is doing. Sometimes the preparation of his coming, and, you know, throughout the Old Testament, we know that those guys lived in, reenacted the things the Lord did throughout the year, the Jewish calendar, and then the early Christians did the same thing in the Christian calendar. So, but a cool thing about the ways of God, you know, that's one thing that Moses prayed. It's in the Psalm 101, 102, 103, right in there, where it says Israel wanted to know the acts of God, but Moses wanted to know the ways of God. Very important thing. And when we read here about the way, that's the seventh thing it uses about his ways that are, I think are very important to us, is to want to know his ways. Lord, what are your ways here? I want to walk in your ways. And then the last one is ordinance, which is kind of like a verdict, a judicially pronounced sentence, right? That when God's ordinances, it's almost like we're declaring and speaking his judgment that's already happened on the enemy. I'm declaring that. his defeat, right? Where we're not practicing the presence of evil or the devil, but declaring his defeat over our lives, right? So, statute, word, precept, law, commandment, testimony, way, and ordinance are the eight ways he uses this one thing called his word, his ways. So we just spend a few moments. This is in, we'll just start in verse 23. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight, and they are my counselors. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word, your spoken word. And I think that we're here now. And one thing I want you to get to today about this is allowing God to revive you according to his word. His word, his promise that he's spoken to you in your life. Okay? If you don't seem to think, well, I don't have many promises about my life, then get some. Okay? Because that's what he does. He speaks. He speaks his rhema word to you. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. The word of God is alive and piercing, right? It divides soul and spirit, meaning that it can separate those things that come out of my soul or that come out of my spirit, my identity in Christ. It judges thoughts. It judges my intentions, right? So the word of God is living. It's powerful. Jesus is the word. So he loves to give us his promises, declare them, and by them revive us. If you need to be revived in your spirit, in your heart, he does, then ask the Lord to speak a word to you. Right? How he does it. He loves to give us his promises. That's right. Verse 26, I've told of my ways and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. I just want to see his heart here. Make me understand the way of your precept. I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief, but strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. I've chosen the faithful way. I've placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I'll run the way of your commandments. You will enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. I'll observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, not to dishonest gain. Turn my eyes away from looking at vanity and revive me from your ways. What a great word, right? Turn my eyes away from looking at things that just don't matter. Have no eternal value whatsoever. Where was I? Here we are. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are all good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer to him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Great word. When the enemy comes to bring reproach, you trust in his word. What he said to you, right? Do not take your word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. I will keep your law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Right? A lot of stuff here. I'll also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I'll delight in your commandments, which I love. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, because your word has revived me. What a great one, right? This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has now revived me, preserved me alive. Okay? God, we could just go on. You have dealt with your servant according to your word. I mean, 174 verses speaking of his word, how the power of his word to us. All the things it does, the love of it, the desire, and all this kind of things, okay, that the Holy Spirit does within us. So the Lord is wanting to revive us according to that. He wants to call forth a hope within you again. All the things that he's declared over you, your destiny, where he wants to take you, all these wonderful things, okay, it's time to revisit that. It's time to let that come forth, because what's going to start happening is, and you'll see it in your life, I'm going to see it in my life, is it's going to happen. Maybe right at the last moment. The Lord just loves that for some reason. He is like an 11:59 in 59 seconds God, you know. He loves that for some reason. He doesn't love it to be, you know, to toy or play with us, but it does such wonders in our heart. It purges us, right? Just gets rid of junk, right? Makes way for the Lord. So that's going to happen, and the tide is turning, shifting for you individually and for us here at Christ the King in the body of Christ, right? I can't wait to see what it looks like. For me personally, for you, awesome, Lord. Well, let me pray for you real quick. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you that you are just speaking so much in this season. It's almost hard to keep up with it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the earth is yours. Your promise to us is, as the darkness increases, so will your light. Lord, for you, the body of Christ, shift our minds back to, Lord, your word. Your statutes, your precepts, your laws, your commandments, your testimonies, your ways, your ordinances. Lord, that we're not only speaking them, but we're walking in them. So, Lord, release that today. Lord, let the shifting begin. Lord, let the suddenlies happen. Lord, let your word be fulfilled. Let them burn in our hearts, the desire to walk in them. Walk in your ways, walk in obedience more than ever before. Lord, you tell us the pure in heart see God. Lord, we bless you. Thank you. Lord, there's several people here again. Lord, I'm not trying to beat the dead horse with this thing, but there's several people here that you, and I pray, Lord, it's really important for them because they've kind of given up on a word. It just seems so hopeless. And Lord, your declaration to them is that word is going to be fulfilled. And it's shifting for them now. You're doing things that we did not expect. So, this is kind of the word to us and to you, those I'm just talking to now. Don't be surprised when the answer is at your door, because it's going to knock. Thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right.